Sticks up, ball down. Lax 904 presents This Week in North Florida Lacrosse. Brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill and BSN Sports on 1010XL. Now here's your host, Ray Carnicelli.
Greetings and welcome to This Week in North Florida Lacrosse. I am Ray Carnicelli, joined in studio by Jim Applegate and Chris Milo. It's our first show of the season. The 2022 season is upon us. I'd like to thank our sponsors, the M Shack, BSN Sports, Derek Prince Realty, Cantina Louie, and First Coast Crush Lacrosse Club. Guys, are you excited about the lacrosse season?
Yeah, ready.
Chris, high school practice starts tomorrow?
Tryouts start tomorrow, hell week. Conditioning was last week, so all the boys are ready to go for the season.
JU scrimmages Tampa on Saturday. Then the following week, Flagler College opens their program with the first game of the program history at Embry-Riddle. I'll be calling that game on next Friday night. Then Jacksonville travels to Johns Hopkins on Saturday, the week from Saturday, to open their season. We've got a jam-packed show. We're going to jump right into it. Today's guests include Quint Kesenick from ESPN, Coach John Galloway from the JU Dolphins, and Brian Duncan, the head coach of the newest Division II program in the NCAA, Flagler College. We want to bring on our first guest, Quint Kesenick. Quint, how you doing today?
Guys, doing great.
Thanks so much for joining us, Quint. The first time you and I spoke was 11 years ago. You were down here for the it was the Notre Dame-Duke game, and I want to play a little clip. Michael, if you can play that.
Welcome to back to Everbank Field for the Moe's Southwest Grill Sunshine Classic. We've got a score of 9-7, Georgetown leading Jacksonville, and I'm joined in the booth by lacrosse legend, four-time All-American, and ESPN personality, Quint Kesenick.
This is unbelievable. I tell you, driving in here this morning to see this parking lot filled with cars, to see the turnout, and the excitement that these young people here in Jacksonville have for the sport of lacrosse. I can't tell you how excited and jacked up I am for today's games.
So, Quint, that was in 2011, and you look at where this area has come in lacrosse. You've got guys playing in college like Wyatt Schupler at Army, Dylan Hass at Georgetown, Ashton Wood at Mercer leading at the top in faceoff. So many guys from this area. The growth has been exponential, and it's just so much fun to kick off this 2022 season with you.
Yeah, you know, in my travels for college football, whenever I fly into a city, I'm always looking out the window looking for schools. And at those schools, I'm looking for two things. I'm looking for lacrosse lines on fields, and I'm looking for lacrosse goals. And in the fall, they're typically not going to be out on the field, but you can see them from the air. And, you know, in the North Carolina, South Carolina, and Florida areas have just ramped up tremendously in the last decade. You guys live that every day. I could feel it in that event. I remember going to the Duke practice the day prior to the event, and there was just so many kids there watching practice and wanting to get autographs afterwards that you felt this energy. And I think lacrosse has continued to fit, you know, at a time where football and CTE and concussions are having families reconsider football as a long-term sport. I think lacrosse is just such a perfect fit for that area. You got great weather, you got good athletes. And now you got some really strong people leading the charge.
Yeah, we've got 17 Division I players just from our area code in 904, and these are contributors. These are our guys on the national scene. And with Jacksonville University playing the schedule that they have this year, Division II, Flagler College, Coach Brian Duncan, who was on the staff when you were down here at Jacksonville University, is the head coach, won a national title at Essex and JUCO. So really good coaches, and so excited for the 2022 season. What has you most excited?
Well, I just think that, you know, while we're not back to normal, you know, last year was just such a weird year in that we had the Ivy Leagues not participating. We had a later start. We had league-only schedules. We had some teams who were willing to travel and others that were trying to keep it, you know, closer to home. I think we'll be a little more normal this year, although, you know, obviously Omicron presents its challenges, especially in the ramping up here in January and February. I think you'll see some issues with teams and having maybe to shut down or stop for a bit, or some players, you know, who disappear for a week or two. I think we can get through it, and I think it'll be a more normal season. You know, I spent this week looking at schedules, and they're all robust. They're all national, and they're all aggressive. So it's back to what should be a normal lacrosse season.
You saw it in football and in lacrosse that the transfer situation is as robust as it's ever been. Here in Jacksonville, we've got Waldbaum coming in from Tufts, Milliken, the goalie, in from UNC, a couple of guys from Syracuse, contributors. It's everywhere. And it changes the landscape. You go into the season not knowing who's going to be on the field.
Yeah, you know, I've seen it in football with a team like Michigan State, who brought in more than 20 guys a year ago, and that's one of the reasons why they had massive success this year from Mel Tucker. In lacrosse, it's been a little slow to gain traction. I think there's some coaches who are still operating like it's 1996. You know, Rutgers is a great example. Brian Breck, he's a guy who's been aggressive in the portal, and it's really upgraded their program. Last year, obviously losing a one-goal game in the quarterfinals in overtime. I think transfers also suit Jacksonville extremely well, and I would lean more on grad transfers if I were Jacksonville to get good players who played somewhere up in the Northeast, who have their degree, who want to come down to Jacksonville, enjoy the sun and some quality lacrosse for a year. I mean, it would be something that if I were given an extra year, I would seriously consider.
One of the biggest stories this year, and it does affect us here in Jacksonville, is the conference realignment with the A-Sun. We're in the SoCon, and we lose Bellarmine and Air Force, and I hate to lose those two teams. And now we're left with six teams in the SoCon, but that A-Sun is going to be fun to watch, great rivalries. It's just going to be good for lacrosse. We don't want to look to next year, but with Hampton possibly going to the CAA, it's going to be a little bit of a scramble. What are your thoughts on the conferences right now?
I haven't spent a ton of time on it, but I will tell you, you know, obviously the biggest thing for me, you know, Hampton and the SoCon is a big deal, and it's a really positive step for lacrosse. But then now this next wave of realignment could put the SoCon's AQ. You know, you go below, six teams and you don't get the AQ. I also think the A-Sun is a huge plus because they become a landing spot for any team nationally that wants to add lacrosse. So if you're an athletic director or school president and there's a push from an alum or from students to add a D1 program, hey, but our league doesn't sanction lacrosse. Well, now they all can use the A-Sun as a generic landing point and compete immediately for the automatic qualifier, which is a big draw when schools want to add lacrosse. So I don't think you're going to see massive, you know, teams jumping into the pool, but I think there'll be a sprinkling in the next decade.
Yeah,
hopefully some teams like, you know, Boston College or Florida State would consider it.
Yeah, we lost Furman, and that hurt the SoCon. But I believe when I talked to Coach Whitley from Bellarmine last year, he said that there was a backup plan for those two conferences if something like dropping below six happened. But let's talk about 2022. How many teams do you foresee have a legitimate chance to win the Division I National Championship?
I start my preparation by going back to the finish line and then backing up. So over the last 2 weeks, I've been watching the NCAA finals, the semifinals, the quarterfinals. So I've watched about eight games so far. And from what I can see, you know, Maryland and Virginia are kind of in tier one teams. They both return tons of talent. They both have a lineage of success. And then below them is a pack of, I don't know, five or six teams, like a Duke, like a Loyola, like a Georgetown this season. I think North Carolina may take a step back, but there's that second tier of teams who can challenge. And, you know, the margin for success and failure is really tight nowadays. As you guys know, you cover these games. You know, North Carolina Rutgers was a one-goal game in the quarters. You had Notre Dame Loyola, both, you know, losers by a goal in their quarterfinal game. And so, you know, the margin is awful thin. So injuries, momentum, teams that improve, it's, you know, everything's about, you know, continuing to improve in my eyes.
When you look at Jacksonville's schedule this year, they open up at Hopkins, then they go to Duke. In addition to the Southern Conference, they go to Denver, Utah, Marquette, St. John's, and then you talk at High Point and Richmond. It is a brutal schedule at UMass Lowell, but they've shown that they've competed. They had a competitive game for a while against Navy. They spotted High Point. High Point scored eight straight goals in the first half last year in the SoCon Championship, and Jacksonville closed it out 5-0 in the fourth to make it a close game. But they've been competitive. What, in your mind, is it going to take for Jacksonville to catch up to or surpass Richmond and High Point?
Well, they're going to catch somebody one of these days. You know, I go back to that Ohio State game that I watched on TV that was just a tremendous game. Jacksonville should have won that game. They really should have. So you're in the SoCon. You're 7-7 last year. I like this schedule. I think it's a draw. You know, playing Hopkins on Feb 5 in Baltimore. Hopefully the weather's not too bad. There's a strong likelihood that's a TV game. You're playing Duke, as you said, Denver Air Force. You've got Hampton in your league right now. But when it comes down to the SoCon, it's High Point and Richmond. And Jacksonville's 0-8, I think, all time against Richmond. They've never beaten them. And then the High Point series, Jacksonville's had a little more success. Last year's game, the 16-11 game, was kind of a deciding point for their season. So can they, I think they're the third best team in the SoCon, no question. But how much of the margin can they close on two very good programs, High Point and Richmond? That's the thing. Jacksonville's come a long way, but so has High Point and Richmond. And this league, in my eyes, has just done a wonderful job. I mean, even Mercer has improved drastically. So, you know, can they close the gap some on High Point and Richmond? And that's going to be tough because I think High Point's got a good team coming back again this season.
So, Quint, around Division One, yeah, I'm from the Syracuse area. That program is near and dear to my heart. And Gary Gate plus Dave Petromala, it's Jimmy's and Joe's as much as it is coaches, but that's going to be fun to watch and just study the dynamic.
Yeah, new attitude, new coaching staff. I think all the drama, the off-the-field drama from last year weighed on that team heavily. Did you watch that Georgetown first-round playoff game from College Park last year? That was a team that was, they weren't right mentally, and at the end of the year, they weren't right physically. So I throw that one out. Now, the question mark I have with Syracuse, they got a tough schedule. You know, getting to 500, if you really break down their schedule, is not guaranteed. You need a 500 record to make the NCAA tournament. So I'm excited. I think they have some parts that are really, really good. Tucker Dordovic, Brendan Curry, you got Brett Kennedy playing probably close defense this year. I think Dordovic's moving to attack. Owen Hilt, you got a transfer goalie and Bobby Gavin from Virginia. So I think there's a lot to like there. Unfortunately, they play in the ACC, and so there's no weeks, you know, no easy games. And their non-conference schedule is very aggressive.
Yeah, so, first time at Albany, I believe.
Yeah, I'm ranking them somewhere probably between 15 and 20 when the season starts. There's just you know, nothing's going to come easy for that team this year. But I am excited to see the product. Love their coaching staff. I mean, those two guys are the best. And I think Gary's got the temperament to pull this off.
So Quint, I love the Inside Lacrosse podcast. I miss them. I can't wait to see your broadcast schedule. Can you give us a little heads up of when those are going to be released, your broadcast schedule and the Inside Lacrosse podcast schedule?
I'm sitting on the ability to do a podcast for Terry Foy. I'm not sure what he's got going on right now. In terms of TV, we have all been alerted to games that we are working in February. They haven't been released yet, but I will tell you in generic terms, that ESPNU will have a handful of games on in the month of February. Probably, you know, Johns Hopkins has that contract with ESPN, so their games will be on the app or ESPNU. And then the ACC Network will be really aggressive in February. ACC Network typically showing games that don't coincide with basketball. So you can look for games that first weekend in February. You can look for midweek games during the month of February. And then in March and April, ACC Network's going to have the Thursday night thriller will be back with some of those high-profile matchups on Thursday nights. But I don't believe those are starting until March. So
we should feel safe about Jacksonville at Hopkins being on somewhere.
I would feel safe about that right now, off the record.
Good deal. Well, Quint, I really appreciate you joining us. Look forward to your coverage all year long. We'll get on Terry Foy to get those podcasts rolling because everybody's hungry. Mercer and Bellarmine open up the season, I believe, on the 29th for the first Division I game, and we'll be rocking and rolling here in Jacksonville with the JU Dolphins and Flagler College Saints in Division II.
I can't wait to see the Dolphins roll into Homewood Field. It'll be a big day for the program. I know Coach Galloway will be pumped up. And you know, who knows, shock the world.
Well, we're going to have him on next and get a preview from him. But, Quint, as always, thank you so much. It's been 11 years since we first talked on the radio, and you're always so generous with your time, so thank you.
Thanks, Ray. Yeah, check in maybe later in the year, halfway through, a quarter of the way through, anything you need, man. Appreciate it. You guys are the best.
Perfect. Thanks, Quint. Have a great day. Wow. Quint's awesome.
He really is. He knows the business.
So one time, Craig Carson called me a Division III Quint Kesenick wannabe, and I take that as a compliment from that guy. So,
Chris, I'm going to let you handle that one.
Well, let's go ahead. I think
it's pretty accurate.
Let's go ahead and take a break and come back and talk to Coach Galloway, and then followed up by Coach Duncan in the following segment. You're listening to This Week in North Florida Lacrosse on 1010 XL.
Now more of the fastest game on 2 feet with This Week in North Florida Lacrosse. Brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill and BSN Sports on 1010XL.
Welcome back to This Week in North Florida Lacrosse. Brought to you by MShack, BSN Sports, Derek Prince Realty, Cantina Louie, First Coast Crush Lacrosse Club. Chris, what's your favorite item at MShack?
Do I have to pick just one?
No.
So most of the time when I go, I get the Sunrise Burger, which is over-easy egg, bacon, cheese on a burger, or Swamp Burger, which has some pulled pork. It's very good. And then the truffle parm fries or the tater tots are excellent. But everything
on the menu is fantastic. What about the shakes?
Peanut butter and chocolate is my go-to.
Jim likes side one of the menu.
Can I add one?
Yeah. What's that?
They have the grilled cheeseburger. It's two grilled cheese sandwiches instead of actual buns in between two patties. It's the most amazing thing.
Yeah, it's called the Insanity Burger.
Yes.
All right, good deal. Well, Quint was awesome. Love having him on. We're going to stick with the goalie theme, and I'd like to welcome onto the air the head coach of the JU Dolphins, John Galloway. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having. I like the milkshake conversations before 11 a.m. in the morning. I'm sure that they'll get a line out the door.
Coach, have you been to MShack?
You know, I have. Ironically, my wife was looking for a place last night, and I think the one at Neptune Beach is no longer there. So, but yes, that was one of my wife's favorite spots. They have a gluten-free option, so she's addicted.
All right, good.
Perfect. Good answer. Coach, true or false, you will shave your head if the Buffalo Bills win tonight?
No, we don't shave our heads for divisional games.
But okay.
The goal is 2 weeks from now, but you got to get through the AFC champions tonight. But I can tell you I am eager for this season.
Well, you know, Chris and I got a chance to go out and check out practice, and there weren't a bunch of surprises. I go in with no expectations. I don't care who was on the roster last year. I just want to see who shines. And there were a lot of people shining. Waldbaum just has this persona about him and a presence about him. No look passes. He's so calm. He draws so much attention, and he's so unselfish. And a couple of the new guys, McGuire, I believe it is, and Kapora, and then Reed Smith, and I really love the roster. I don't have to look at it. I can just name them all, and so excited about the scrimmage on Saturday and then the trip to Hopkins.
Yeah, it's an exciting, you know, part of the year right now, and it is for every team, and we've been reserved with our thoughts because we haven't seen us against a different color quite yet, but we love our locker room. You know, when people ask us how the year is going, what it looks like, I think the resonating message amongst the coaching staff is we just love our locker room. We love the guys that we get to go to work with every day. And we're not going to know a lot until we see the scoreboard on and a winner and a loser on February 5th. But I can tell you that as a coaching staff, we really enjoy going to work with these guys on a daily basis.
You know, looking at your captains, I believe there are five captains, Griner and Milliken and Dixon Smith, and you can name the rest of them. But went into the process of naming the captains this year, how does that process work?
Yeah, so after the Southern Conference loss last year, we as a staff chose Troy Hettinger to be the sole captain for the program. And as a staff, we just identified Troy as the guy that maybe didn't always have a voice, but does everything right. He's the guy that's 5 minutes early to every practice and every lift. He was there first this morning at our team lift. He's a guy that carries himself the right way in the classroom and obviously on the field. And we just felt like we needed one voice to kind of lead us through a tumultuous postseason after a heartbreaking loss. And just 2 weeks ago, I met with Troy and I just talked with him about the potential of voting for assistant captain. So, you know, the way that we laid it out to the team is as a dictatorship, the coaches chose the sole captain, and as a democracy, we'll choose the assistant captain. So we gave our team a voice as well. And we just felt like we had some really good leaders in the room, and we didn't want to look past them. And Dixon Smith, Jeremy Winston, Max Waldbaum, which I think is such a statement for his teammates to vote for him, and Jacob Greiner. And the rule was you had to have supermajority votes, which means two-thirds, which is 40 of our 60 guys, and that's a significant amount of votes to be chosen captain, and those four did, and they've done a great job so far in their short time as leaders.
I believe McLean Chickwin was a captain coming in late as well. Am I correct there?
Yeah, and it's a story we share a lot in recruitment, you know, with the transfer portal being so unique. McLean being voted captain, and Max Waldbaum now obviously carries on that opportunity to do that as a transfer.
I had done a little prediction and, you know, said Jacob Greiner's has 40-goal potential in my mind, and I'm not exaggerating there. Chris Milo said it's the year of Jeremy Winston. Talk about Jeremy. Quint was just on, and he referenced that Ohio State game a couple years ago and how impressed he was with that team. How much of Jeremy's success is going to be based on talent versus mindset?
Yeah, I think Jeremy's always had talent. I mean, he saw it as a freshman. I think Jeremy's constantly worrying about the others, and sometimes he has to be a little bit more selfish. And we really tried to encourage Jeremy to be the best version of himself over the last 3 months and improve on some of his shot selection and shooting percentage, and challenged him with areas that he's getting to the net and getting his shot off. And he's such an amazing kid. He's such an amazing leader. I think if you ask anybody in our locker room who the guy that they would lean on if something bad was going on, that'd be Jeremy. And I think that he's so selfless that he's got to be a little bit more selfish on the field, and I think he's done a good job so far this preseason.
Hey, Coach, Chris Milo here. Thanks again for coming on the show. Last year I was very critical of Jeremy. I think at one point his shooting percentage was not great, but I guess how do you work with him through that to get him in the right mindset of this is a good shot compared to some of the shots that he was taking last year? I guess what's that conversation like?
Yeah, we actually worked with the Lynchburg staff, and they created a shooting efficiency percentage, and we stole that from them. And essentially what it does is it puts an analytic sense to where you're getting your shots. So it also weighs heavily on if your shot is being caught or saved, which I think for Jeremy was often the case. It wasn't just not scoring, but it was you know, getting saved, which ultimately changes possession. So we really worked through those numbers with Jeremy, talked about his stick placement, where it needs to be. I mean, he's such an athletic kid. He can get his shot in the alleys like he always has, but that's not a high percentage shot anymore in college lacrosse. So we really talked about areas where he can get to the field, where his stick should be when he gets to those areas of the field. And I think, you know, again, Jeremy's so coachable. He's really changed his mindset to not just getting his hands free, but now putting his stick in a position to increase the percentage of putting the ball in the net or missing, which in a lot of times misses are okay in a possession. And that's where we've tried to create a little bit different of a free mindset where he's not handcuffed by, you know, the analytics, but encouraged by what he could do.
Hey, Coach, this is Jim Applegate here. Just had a quick question too. You know, us as coaches, right, we always learn from, you know, what's happened in the past. And I'm just wondering, what did you end up taking away from last year's, you know, 11-9 loss to High Point in the SoCon tournament?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, I think we were over-coaching in certain areas. I think as a staff, we've really tried to give more decision-making opportunities for the guys on the field. I think we're allowed to do that because of our age. If you look at our offensive personnel, besides two guys, everybody's a junior or older. And same thing on the defensive end. We really tried to take some of the terminology away. We eliminated about 40% of our terminology and just tried to give guys like Conahan and Dixon Smith and Jack Heed and Jordan Young, all guys have played 4 or 5 years of lacrosse here at JU, a little bit more freedom to be them. And just focus on the 3 to 4 core fundamentals. And I think as a staff, we look at that first half of the High Point game, and you saw a lot of tentativeness amongst both sides of the ball. And then you watch the second half when you're down and you play a little bit more freely, our skills start to showcase themselves and our athleticism and our ability to shoot with Jacob Greiner and play one-on-one defense with Conahan. So I think just taking away some of the minutia and allowing our guys to know the game plan and simplify it hopefully resonates a little bit more into that second half of the High Point game, and we can build off of that.
Coach, when I look at the close defense, and I'm not sure who's a close defender and who's going to end up at LSM, but between Heed and Hinton and Dixon Smith and Pellegrino and Young and Hogue and Davis Smith, I don't recall there being so many guys that I would feel comfortable seeing out on the field.
Yeah, it's definitely the deepest we've ever been, and that's true, really, at the attack and the defense. And that's just two areas where I don't know if depth is something that I would describe us as in the past. And we're old on the defensive end, but you're starting to see guys like Davis Smith and Gordon Ogden and Quentin Pellegrino start to showcase themselves. Carson Dixon, who started the first game last year at the long stick position, and then tore his ACL, and now he's coming back from that. And it's exciting. It's exciting because I think the guys come to work every day with a competitive edge because there is somebody else behind them. And ultimately, we're going to be led, though, by guys like Colin and Dixon who know that this is their last hurrah no matter what, and they're putting their best foot forward.
At the midfield line, you've done some experimenting. We've seen a lot of guys rotate through in the past. With Winston back, along with Hedinger and Dolan, of course. Don't want to forget about Dolan. Who might we see in addition to those guys scoring goals from the midfield in 6-on-6?
Yeah, we're in the preseason, we're trying to identify that. And we've heard criticism, and I think sometimes criticism is warranted in terms of, trial and error of a lot of different personnel and not giving guys a chance to get comfortable. And Jeremy and Jack obviously lead that unit. Tyler Kapora, you mentioned, again, a fifth-year senior who's played a lot of lacrosse, a lot of college minutes, has really blossomed for us this year. And then some new guys, Ibrahim Pio is a guy that has really played well in the preseason. He was injured all fall, and he came back full steam ahead. Trevor Natalie's a young man who we've been impressed with early on in the preseason. Marshall McGuire and Cam Johnson, transferred mid-year. That's a tough thing to do, but, we have some familiarity with both of those guys, and they've brought some depth. And then, we have a wealth of guys who have been in our system. Brendan McKenna, who was playing first midfield line last year, and Tom Heed, who's continued to develop his game. And somebody that's not playing attack is going to be able to play midfield, whether that's Bobo Hunter, who's had a great fall, or Reed Smith, who's had a really, really good fall transitioning back to the Division One level. There's some guys that are continuing to develop, and this Tampa scrimmage is a chance for them to do it under the light.
Sure. It seemed like every time I looked up the other day, Luke Robinson was scoring as well. And I like the way he plays. Coach, before we let you go, the last year's trip to Navy started off so good, and I'm sure there were a lot of lessons learned going to a historic place like that, not knowing what the weather's going to be like. It just kind of reminds me of what this trip to Hopkins might be like for you. What are you going to take away from that Navy trip last year to Johns Hopkins this year?
Yeah, I think, we really shifted our mindset in the fall to our four core values, and that's all we focused on. We talked about it yesterday where it was a little bit chillier, and we said that this is the weather that we want. This is not something that we're going to shy away from. We're going to be fearless of the weather. We're going to earn the respect of guys in the Mid-Atlantic who maybe don't see that as a hot game to go watch on February 5th, and we're going to be prepared. And those are the things that we're going to focus on. We're not going to get caught up in what the uniform says or what stadium we're playing in. The ball is going to be the same size. The field is going to be the same size. And we have a lot of guys who've played a lot of college lacrosse that are excited to put that jersey back on, and that's going to be our singular focus going into that weekend.
Well, looking forward to calling the Tampa scrimmage on the Mixer app, watching Johns Hopkins and then Duke and then up to Savannah. It's a busy time of the year for everybody, but this is what we all wait and hope and are so excited for. Coach, just so thankful for you joining us, and can't wait to see you on Friday night for the networking event and then Saturday for the scrimmage.
Yeah, I appreciate you and Chris coming out the other day and watching. I always think that's so beneficial for you guys to have a chance to see the people that we talk about. So thank you for doing that, and excited to see you guys this weekend.
All right, Coach. Have a great day. Go Bills.
Go Bills. See you guys.
That was Coach John Galloway of the JU Dolphins. We're going to go ahead and take a break and come back with Brian Duncan, the professor. Flagler College starts their program this coming week. We're going to go ahead and take a break. You're listening to This Week in North Florida Lacrosse on 1010XL.
This Week in North Florida Lacrosse.
Brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill and BSN Sports on 1010XL.
Dead blood in the streets, it's up to my ankles. Welcome back to This Week in North Florida Lacrosse. Ray Carnicelli, Chris Milo, and Jim Applegate, brought to you by MSHAC. BSN Sports, throughout the season, will be naming the BSN Sports Player of the Game. Visit bsnsports.com. Derek Prince Realty, If you're looking to move, relocate, Derek Prince Realty. First Coast Crush Lacrosse Club, the leader in developmental lacrosse for middle school and high school in North Florida. And Cantina Louie. Chris, you're 40th. We were all at Cantina Louie, weren't we?
Absolutely.
And that was a location over by Nice High School. They've got locations throughout the area. Atlantic Beach, Daytona Beach, Fernandina Beach. You got the beaches covered. Up by Monument, over on the south side. Matthews, North Carolina, Palm Coast. That Nocatee location down by Nice. They've got one in Asheville, North Carolina, St. Augustine, and soon coming to St. John's, Florida. Love Cantina Louie.
I love going there. The food's always good. Tacos are fantastic.
Service is great.
Margaritas are real good.
We'd like to welcome on our next guest, the professor, Coach Brian Duncan of the Flagler College Saints. Dunky Doo, how you doing?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on this morning.
Well, so glad to have you, Coach. How excited are you for the next couple of weeks?
You know, it's been a long journey to get to this point, and you know, I try to tell the guys all the time, you know, we did this together, and they now get to take and kind of get to reap the reward of all this work and all the things that they've sacrificed and put into this, and they've had a tough road, Ray. They've had to practice off campus for the first, you know, couple weeks here, and we're going to have to be there for another week, and they're going late nights, and they're getting their schoolwork done. You know, they had a 2.83 GPA this year for the fall semester. So kudos to these guys, man. So I'm just excited for them to get a chance to go out and actually, you know, go against another team.
You put together such an amazing staff. Tell me about your assistant coaches.
Yeah, you know, I got lucky and got my best friend to decide to come down here and sacrifice the last 2 years, and we've been able to take care of him the a little way in the financial sense, but he's really sacrificed to be here. And Tim King is a guy that, you know, has coached in the Sunshine State Conference, and he's been a defensive coordinator, and so we brought him in for that role. And I tell you, what he's doing with these young men that we have is special. So we're excited to see how that unit comes together this year. And you know, James Foote came to us. He's kind of a Florida guy, and he's been around the lacrosse scene here in Florida for a long time. And I got lucky and got introduced to him, you know, two falls ago. And you know, we just became friends and started kind of sharing philosophies and realized that he was a perfect fit for us to bring in. And then we also have Coach Gutierrez, who's been down in Matanzas, and he's been a head coach. And you know, he's a leader of young men as well. You know, he works in the special needs down at Matanzas, and he's a great guy, and he gives a lot of effort to these men. So, and we just added a guy who came here a few years back, Neil Rodden. He's going to help with our goalies this year.
Sure, I remember when he was coaching at Nice. So, Dunk, you and I met in the fall of 2009. You came down to be on Coach Kerwick's first staff at Jacksonville University, and I was a volunteer assistant that spring of 10 for that first season. How much of that experience building a program from the ground up have you incorporated into what you're doing and what you learned at JU for Flagler College?
You know, I learned a lot about trying to get ahead of the culture and trying to create a situation, you know, where we have guys that are doing what the school wants to see in the community and around the school and you know, within the faculty. And just so we've really focused a lot on the things that we learned watching JU that first year and all those freshmen running around and different things that, you know, they got into. And so I've tried real hard to stay ahead of that the best I can. And I think that's the biggest thing that I took from it, was realizing that culture was probably the most important part that we needed to work on, because we recruited some pretty good talented players in, and we felt like we can run around on a lacrosse field, but you know, you can't run around on a lacrosse field if you're in trouble all the time. So we really focused on that side of things and class and getting to class and doing the things that are important for why they came to college. And so that's been the biggest thing I think I learned from that experience, was to just really try to get ahead of what these guys are going to get into and trying to keep these guys going in a great direction.
Hey, Duncan, Milo here. Just a quick question. I'm really excited for and to see the stadium. What can we just get a quick update on the construction of the stadium?
Yeah, so the stadium is in the ground. We are waiting for a few items to come in that didn't quite make it. They almost got it done. We were so excited and thought that it was going to come through. But, you know, look, they've put a heck of an effort into getting that in the ground. So we're basically down to putting fencing up, netting up, the scoreboards going in. The stands will be going in this next week. And we think by the 26th, we're going to be up and roaring and ready to go. And there'll actually be probably a couple women's games on the field prior to us stepping on the field. So in a way, I'm kind of relieved. You know, we kind of get to go to an established field and compete. And, you know, when we get to come back, it'll be ready for it.
Hey, Dunk, it's Jim Applegate. Just going through your roster here real quick, and I see you're really young, right? And so as a coach, how do you approach, you know, going into the season with a lot of, you know, freshmen, you know, playing for you?
You know, I'm going to go in, Jim, with an open mind. I'm going to allow these guys to compete and have opportunities and chances. And I think you guys have been around the game enough to know that the guys that are going to continue to make consistent plays are going to continue to find time on the field. And we have to go through this process. Like, this is not every week it changes for me. You know, I have guys stepping up, and I have guys that fall down, and guys that get hurt, and guys that sit out. And all those things are affecting how we're looking at what unit and what groups are going to go on the field to try to compete, you know, February 4th. But it's coming together, Jim, and I think we have a lot of guys that we can pull from to, you know, we're going to figure it out. These guys are going to, they're going to make the plays that make us either keep them on the field or not. And that's kind of what we've tried to tell them through the whole experience.
Coach, before we have to let you go, I'm looking forward to calling that game at Embry-Riddle. Who are going to be a few of the guys that are going to fill up the net for you?
You know, I think Ty Tom is going to be a guy that is going to help lead us. You know, he came from a very good program at Belmont Abbey. He's been in, you know, he's seen the top five teams. You know, he knows what to expect a little bit. Guy named Thomas Pritchard is another one that came. He came from St. Leo, and he's also seen the competition already. So I think those two guys we're going to lean on a little bit on attack, and then, you know, we have a ton of athletic middies, so I don't want to get into naming names, but I think these midfielders are going to, they're going to be dangerous. And, you know, we're just trying to figure out how to fit them together and make sure that they have roles that complement each other. And that's kind of what we're focusing on the most right now.
As far as goalie goes, is there one clear starting goalie, or do you plan on having a rotation?
I think we're going to have a rotation to start. We have a couple goalies that are probably in the 1-2 spot, 1A, 1B, and they just continue to keep competing against each other. So we're going to allow that to play out a little bit. One's a righty, one's a lefty, one's a transfer from Limestone, one's a transfer from Howard Community College. And they both have seen, you know, the fire a little bit, so we're going to kind of let that play out. We feel like the numbers will tell us if we need to make a decision to go with just one, or if we can go righty-lefty and confuse shooters in first half, second half, then we may stick to that for a little bit.
Coach, when you and I first met, you were very aggressive in your style, and you talked about Coach King. Offensively and defensively, would you describe the style as aggressive and taking the game to your opponent rather than reacting to what they do?
Yes, we're always going to try to worry about us, and we want to play a fast style. That doesn't mean we want to jam the ball into the crease in 10 seconds. It just means that we want to play a style that's going to continue to apply pressure to a defense. And on defense, we want to continue to apply pressure to an offense and put them in situations where they have to react to us. And that's kind of always been the way I've coached my teams. I want our guys to be aggressive. I want our guys to believe in the fact that we can create turnovers and lessen the turnovers playing at a speed that I think we're capable of playing at on the offensive end.
The other day, Chris and I were talking, and I said, I would not be surprised if Flagler beats Embry-Riddle. And Chris said, there's nothing would surprise me about Coach Duncan. That philosophy and the way that you believed you could start a program at Flagler College, there were skeptics, there were cynics, and you pulled it off because you believe in yourself and your ability to rally the troops. You've got three huge fans sitting in the studio and can't wait to get out and watch a practice this week and then watch what you do building the Flagler Saints.
Hey, Ray, thank you so much. And I'm telling you, we are so excited to just put a good, you know, team into the community. And we are going to get out to the community. We got out a lot in the fall. We did probably over 300 hours in the community. And, you know, we're going to get out and do some more this spring with the rec programs. And, you know, we're just excited to be a part of this. And thank you for, you know, giving us a little coverage and just, you know, pushing us a little bit to be better.
Well, you'll be sick of me by the end of the season, Dunk. But thank you so much. And we'll catch up this week.
All right, thank you so much, Ray. See you guys a little later.
That was Coach Brian Duncan of the Flagler Saints. We're going to take a break and come back and wrap up these three conversations, talk a little bit more about JU's coming weeks and Flagler College and a little bit about high school. You're listening to This Week in North Florida Lacrosse on 1010XL.
This Week in North Florida Lacrosse, brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill and BSN Sports on 1010XL.
We have a little more conversation and some action coming up. I want to thank our guests today, Coach John Galloway of the JU Dolphins, Quint Kesenick of ESPN, and the Flagler College Saints head coach Brian Duncan. Our broadcasts are brought to you by MSHAC, BSN Sports, Cantina Louie, First Coast Crush Lacrosse Club, and Derek Prince Realty. Visit DerekPrinceSells904.com, D-E-R-E-K, PrinceSells904.com. You know, Dunk just has this force of nature about him that he can just make things happen, and he's so positive. I wish I was like that. It's like I have this cynical part that I don't like about myself. He just believes it. When he first talked about Flagler having a Division II team, I was like, okay, yeah, sure thing, Dunk.
Yeah, same thought I had too. But again, he's been there. He's willed it. He's wanted it for a long time, and now it's happening.
So, Jim, tell me one thing from our guest conversation today that kind of caught you off guard or surprised or that you learned.
I really did not look at, you know, Flagler's roster until today, and I did not really realize how young they are. And I think Duncan said that, you know, that you're going to get some good and some bad out of that youth. And, but like you said, he's going to will these kids to be successful one way or the other. They're going to accept the challenge and they're going to do well.
Chris.
The one thing that I looked at you was, when Coach Galloway said Reed Smith was going to be potentially playing midfield. It's kind of surprising, but you know, with those other three attackmen that are there, you know, he might be able to help up at the midfield. And I think that's actually a good thing. Just interesting to hear.
Jim, we've seen Coach rotate attackmen through the midfield in 6-on-6 and get those matchups, and I think that I could see Reed doing that type of function.
Yeah, and I'm going to go way back now, but Reed as a freshman, you know, he actually was a midfielder for me, and he can do it. He's talented enough to be able to be successful at the midfield.
So I've got three high school games marked in my book here. I've got a lockdown. We're going to release our high school broadcast schedule. High school practice starts tomorrow, is it?
Yes, tomorrow morning.
Rivalry on the River, something to look forward to again. That'll be broadcast on TV and the radio in March. JU at Tampa on Saturday at noon. Tune in on the Mixer app. Follow me on Twitter at Lax904. Quint told us that the Hopkins game will be on one of the ESPN platforms, so I was pretty confident that we'd be able to watch it, but being able to watch it on one of the ESPN platforms will be exciting. Next couple of weeks, what's really got you juiced, Jim?
Just the start of the season, right? I can't wait for the ball to be, you know, rolling on the field and getting in the back of the net.
Talking to the coaches on the Sunday show to see who we should be looking out for and just kind of what they have going for the upcoming season. Creekside, Bartram, all the coaches that we can get on.
We will have them on. I've been in communication with most of them. I'm looking forward to broadcasting the games. I love watching it, and when I'm calling the play-by-play, I feel like I'm playing a little bit. In my mind, I'm playing it, trying to see what's going to happen next while trying to memorize numbers and player names. And you guys do such a great job and have improved so much as color commentators. I'm looking forward to having you both in the booth. I want to thank our sponsors. I want to thank Michael, producing today's show, Coach Galloway, Quint Kesenick, and Coach Brian Duncan. For Jim Applegate and Chris Milo, I'm Ray Carnicelli. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the fastest game on 2 feet. This week in North Florida Lacrosse on 1010XL 92.5 FM.